Byron Morgan.
And what do you do?
I'm a housewife.
This man and family came to Ohio, and he and the brothers, the two brothers and the sister, moved to Turkey Bound. And then he got married to a lady by the name of Eva. And they were married to Zechariah. Jerry Buckley's oldest daughter. And the Buckley's were John and Buckley and Hugo, Arnold. There was Arnold with Hess Buckley, wasn't
it? Yeah.
And there was a big bunch of Buckley. Grandmother was from over there, Northeastern Area, and her name was Dubois, also Swiss. And she married Detlaw. And then my grandmother, she said.
What is it called?
They were farmers, and also my dad worked at and set up sawmills and stuff like that, and carpenter, and part of the time he worked, and maybe somebody made a carpenter.
Is there a sawmill
here? Well, there was a lot of sawmills. Every hollow and field had a sawmill under it. Mostly milk cows, and they made good little small pieces of cheese, too. My granddad, I think they had a little kind of like a factory that brought the cheese to his house. And the cheese house is still there, up on our farm. And the cheese they made were as big as a 50-gallon drum full. So they got lids, they had lids that were like a lid, that put the cheese down on it and let them come out and whatever they do, get them finished. And then they flop them over and every day different size and salt and so on and so forth.
Like the primary cheese?
Yeah, the regular Swiss cheese is what they're doing. And they had big blocks of slabs of wood together, so it made a round wheel like 25 inches in diameter. It weighed 100 pounds of cheese. So they had a community cheese factory. Yeah, they had this mold of their own use for community. And I guess the farmers and people that come in was cutting timber and whatever was doing that.
So you think some of the other houses
too? I think that's the signature.
Well, everybody always identified it through the years, and everybody used that term in their recipe.
Yeah, it was
different too. There's more different kinds of things. That particular home is a few lines of kind of that. Then when it goes to harder to.
They have, what they have to do is, they would make it in the block, leave it in each reed, and then pick it up, put a new reel, so you then press it off. And that's put it in the press, get all the milk out of it. And then each day they turn it, the first mold and salt and then the top side. And if you wish it, melt. I think 21 days till it's big enough, old enough to start.
And everyone's going to be in the
house. Yeah. And now they make just little ones. Like they make them 4, 5, 6 pounds, something like that. And different styles. Like bacon, well, it tastes a different taste.
Well, you're talking about those round things or molds. I mean,
they're
big ones. You know, now, even Nancy, I think, has some little ones, and they put them in a little square box.
Yeah, they're in
the round thing is kind of like a mold.
Yeah.
And I've seen the people in the first version of the
Yeah. Yeah. The brother still lives, part of him still lived in the house. And they never did all of them come down here.
The recipe is similar to the in-house.
Yeah.
A little bit of difference because of the different type of milk, because of how they different kinds of food, and that's the same, but that was the recipe that they were aiming for, the in-house.
Aside from the cows, feeding them so much. Yeah, we had enough poultry for eggs and a few to sell. And we had hogs enough to butcher every fall. And then in the summertime, we'd run out of meat maybe and we'd have to sheep. We had mutton. Did you ever have mutton on?
We missed that.
We missed that? Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Especially when they all get together and when they start thrashing the grain, they would all get together and help each other with the thrash machine, and then they'd have to, maybe take 50 gallons and 50 bushels of seed from the oats and the wheat. And that was kind of a party. They all went around each other home and doing that. Yeah.
So that, is that the same tractor that was at the community center?
Yeah. Yeah.
Bring that out.
Yeah. They were told it had wheels on it. And it mattered on the wagon. It pulled around with a team of horses, didn't they? And when they had a Grandpa had a single piston motor, and it was big, great big, beautiful, don't wheel, not have too big wheels on it, you have to be mounted on the wagon. And it burned kerosene, so they brought that around, and that kind of surprised the fashion, so you don't remember that?
This was Grandpa John?
Yeah.
They didn't let me go to the barn very often.
We bought a piece of this grandpa's land to start us out in my cabin on this side of the road. So with a telephone come up along the road, we found cross arms and old stuff that fell down on the ground. They didn't want it. They just left it there. And that's been 50 years ago, or maybe more. We found those cross arms up the telephone lines. And a piece of old-time Model T Ford, It's a good book. Yeah, you got it.
I have the door.
Yeah.
It's sitting in my bay window. And I have a picture sitting beside
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
it is. The Model T Ford, when he got it. And like, everybody's
like 1927?
Yeah.
25? Yeah.
20-something, yeah. He wanted that one, looked that up for me. Yeah.
Oh, did? Yeah.
And then I got the picture of that car when the day that he got it, he brought it from the railroad and
yeah.
Got in and got it up on the railroad. And it was a big deal because not very many people in the had it. Cars. So, well, you know, all the boys and grandpa were standing around the car, they're seeing it on. And now I've got the door, which
was
found, was salvaged out of the ground. That's all that,
yeah,
all rusty and the thing you're painting.
It was kind of on a little pile where they threw stuff out of the way and left the
Yeah, he bought the land from Grandpa Bettler.
Yeah,
Grandpa Bettler's sawmill.
Yeah, the sawmill was
on
my campground. And it was so close to the highway, the rocks are still there. The foundation.
I remember the sawmill.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember when WPA came along, they were widening the road, and everybody was talking about that. And Grandpa said, they ain't gonna move my foundation. That's not their land. This is mine. And the rocks are still there. And I didn't move them. I'm gonna leave them right there too. They're right out from behind this rock, huh? Oh yeah, then they got, you know, if they didn't have, if they were on a right of way, that's just say, you gotta move this part of the building off.
But now the road is very close to this side and to the other side, both. I mean, we're talking just a few
feet
from
the road. The garage is right on the bottom too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's right there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we done that. First baby butcher. That's one.
That's a great fun project. I love it.
And Thanksgiving, anytime it gets good and cold of a night, you know, you can hang the meat up in the room somewhere and have a tea. And it didn't have to be today, didn't it? I remember when we got the first refrigerator in my house, and had Lexi finally got the Lexi thing. And boy, we thought that was great. That old refrigerator was keeping everything cold for us.
What day, you know what year
that came out? I think it was around 38. Pretty close to that. Maybe 40 somewhere. Yeah.
I like making sausage, but you have to have, like, you know, the whole process, but I've been part of the assembly line. I used to be in the assembly line. And what the Detwilers did in the most recent years, they still use the Berkey smokehouse over at
Elton.
Yeah, and then they put a little, it's a dirt floor, and they put a little bit of an apple tree bark and twigs and keep it smoking. And they have their sausage in there. So Nancy and Leroy still, I mean, they did 10 years ago. They still smoke their sausage, try to get back to those old buildings that used to smoke their sausage. So that smokehouse is still there. But the Berkeys had the smokehouse and they had the cheese house. And so a lot of people went to those places to bring their milk so they could do the biggest amount. Everybody would pull everything together. From what I put together.
Yeah,
that's
Eleanor was talking about the
rent back to the
home.
Yeah. Hang down. Let's go.
Hang
down,
hang
your back.
And then you say,
yeah, whatever you think. Yeah. And when I was in high school, I was still home, and I asked my dad if he could make some maple syrup. Yeah, if you want to cut the trees, go ahead. I was going to get it over here. It's about a quarter of a mile to the other side of the farm. And I said, well, we'll put it in that big seemed to have been paid. So I go right there, and I cut left feet, and this round there was four of them full of water running over, you know, about more than 10 gallons is all I could carry at one time. And they were just all bleeding real hard, you know. And we made maple syrup, and I sold it to the owner of the gallon, I think. No,
wow.
I
think the owner of the gallon.
It takes 50 gallons of water to a gallon of syrup.
Okay.
50 to 1.
You had to make a lot of
syrup. Yeah. Five fifths makes a gallon. I'm glad to get a little bit of money in my pocket, you know, going to school, you know, every day. My grandmother used to make a lot of things, but I forget now what it's called. Oh, potatoes is called, slice them up and fry them. Rest it. Yeah, you just slice up. You peel the potatoes, then you slice them up nice and put them in a hot skillet with a little bit of lard in it, or butter. Let them fry until they're done. They're good. They used to learn this kind of crisp and really nice and flaky. Yeah, you can put
onions in there. Yeah, you can put, we went to, when we were at the system, there was a restaurant that just kept going back to the system, and that's all they had. And they had different versions of that.
Do you remember that they made how they made salsa?
Like here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did they put sugar in it, or did they put salt?
In our generation, it was browser than caraway, but you probably did molasses and cane sugar.
No,
and
they didn't put too much. I think maybe salt. And then it just almost ferment by its own sugar, you know. Mm-hmm. They might have put sugar in it. Yeah. Well, there was always sauerkraut. He was always talking to himself. Yeah. Actually, sauerkraut. He had that flavor. My grandmother always, she would always try to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And she would still. Yeah.
Now that didn't begin with the beer seller. And when his older sister went to school, the nursing back and the younger ones trying to get out of the
country. She cried and she said, I ain't gonna go over there and talk English. Now I want to stay at home.
That was in Ireland.
Ireland, yeah.
She became the school teacher. That's
first.
The reason all of us speak very nicely.
Yeah, she couldn't talk. She could, oh, I don't expensive to me. I don't know. She's 4 years
she
old.
She never talked to you.
She never talked to me first, I don't think.
Oh, she never spoke to you
first? No, I don't remember.
Oh.
I know that she went to school after she told on it. Well, she said, I don't want to go to school anymore. And then the guy on the stage told me to be a little sister. No, it just went on. She went to school and she liked it. And she didn't do it.
It went on, but it got quiet during the time I was growing up because
then
Dad was like, you know, typical Berkey quiet. I don't know if it's a Berkey with that little thing. But there's like many people, you know, you feel like that might look German and communism and working. And we were all thought to be really successful by the time we were, you know, coming about.
Yeah, you remember that? That's in wartime.
Yeah.
Right after the First World War, then.
But still, all the refugees and the food and the tradition.
Yeah.
But not so much the song and the dance was still, but not the song. You know, we weren't taught, you know, why the school songs again until, you know, later.
Yeah.
When all that was the air clear.
Yeah, it got so all the Swiss were talking English, and we were
So what did you do for work?
Well, I was a truck driver, and I just loved to drive trucks, and I went and found a job. First thing I got was a Southern State from Tijuana, and they want to make a, they want me to be a, what's it called, a super kind of a business store. And I've done it for a while, and I was saying, well, I didn't have it. You have to mark everything down. Buy paper and have to fill out everything each day. It went down to
it wasn't a bean counter, obviously.
It went down to Virginia, somewhere in Virginia, and it went somewhere else. So
was it inventory?
Huh?
Was it inventory?
Yeah. We have to help fill everything we sold out of that store. Everything to come in. We get a train load of laying mash. And later we had to go down. And anyway, one day I heard him say that we didn't buy a truck.
And you said, here we go.
But it was in Parksburg. So I said, well, I'd like to have a job. And all of a sudden they said, okay, you can have that job over in Parksburg. Then I have to go from one house to the other. There, everybody was buying 10 pounds of lean mash and 50 pounds of cracked corn. And he was living over here, and the other guy was living over there. And I had to pour a ton of feed on the truck every day. And I just couldn't smell it. I got down to the fine little skinny bones. Anyway, then I one of my buddies up here, Frank Smith, saved me. He said, do you want to go to work in the sawmill? I said, what then? He said, it's pretty easy. He said, we got two trucks hauling logs in. We're right in the woods. All you have to do is run out to the woods and get the logs in. You got an aid. And I said, call me in, I'll get it. So I went up there and they had top of the street. They had a cabin. And everybody ate off of the same table and everybody worked there. And started out. And we went till November and we went deer hunting. We had a week off. And then that big snow came in West Virginia. And and I never got back. I don't know what happened. But everybody just separated, and I think they just had to go. They didn't know they went back. So, I guess I was in 45. Hit her off on the side of the road, and that steering wheel flew around there and picked me up out of the seat and ruined my shoulder. And I went to Ike and I said, "Boy, I can't do a thing," and I couldn't raise my arm. He said, "What's the matter?" I said, "Oh, that week I hit him and hit her off and it kicked me." And he pulled on it and stretched me. He said, "He said, the best thing you can do is keep on driving."
Keep yourself limber.
So I did, and I just made that.
How did you
ever
play fiddle?
Well, my sister plays piano, and my cousin played the piano, and they both kind of egged me on. And every time they get a new piece, and I start playing fiddle, and so every time they get somebody, you know, they do a meeting, and get together and learn it together. And we had lessons one summer, and we just went to, we thought we'd get something, but it didn't amount to just a little while. And otherwise, I guess I just kind of picked up what I saw somebody else doing, and I just kept on trying.
Now, you and Rudolph played really close.
Rudolph was a big guy on the jam. He could play anything with you, but he didn't play no... He didn't play no tunes. He just played... He was a good backup. Norman's the one that played lead. He played fiddle too, Norman Sunday. And I followed him some too. And my dad, he played. My granddad played. So somebody had to follow them. Yeah. And I still got one of his fiddles, my granddad. Square dance, two-step, yeah, waltz,
polka,
yeah. Yeah, they had a, I never got what they did in Switzerland. I don't know if they had a different sport or not. I think they did it. Some of the sleep dance was not the same as mine.
But they come from 700 years plus, and we were just 200 years into that culture, really. And when did they learn two-step?
Well, they just kind of picked it up from somebody there. We had a fiddle fairy over here, Philippa. He came to the house one day and we all got together there and they played from 9 o'clock till 4. They just kept falling.
So what do you think about Ernest Berkey, your dad?
Yeah.
When Krasnov would come and the Catholics would say, "It's Fat Tuesday, we want to celebrate," he could stay home and harness would go out and say, Jesus, what was he playing during that time?
Yeah, he played the same guy.
Okay.
Yeah. I learned what he played. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Wait, what's the Foxy know about?
That, what?
She's making Foxy.
Yeah, she. Yeah, we used to have a lot of fights and after the dance or sometimes during the dance and all of a sudden. See, the musicians get out of that because they were up on stage when you couldn't get out. And we had a guy. Did you ever meet Stuart Carr?
I think so.
He lived up on the hill up there. Yeah, he didn't pass that time when I was an Elmer's brother. And he was kind of a floor keeper to everybody. He was tall and talk real sharp and slow.
Demanding
voice. Yeah, he was demanding. Anyway, he took care of a lot of.
That was Eleanor's brother, Stuart?
Stuart, yeah.
So were the fights, were they over girls or?
Oh, they were over every time Sunday. Some of them got a little bit too much music in them. And then, you know, they got an argument there. We did mine. We got my girl. I don't know what they had to thought about.
He was just playing the fiddle.
I was just trying to make miles on the floor.
And at that time, was it that when you were starting? When you were playing?
I was playing part. He was older than I am. So I played this one in the later years.
When did that name get back
to you? My bad.
It was just the record.
Yeah, he plays in the brass band. Yeah. He got 50s up there. And they played in the graveyards. What's it called? We call it Decoration Day.
What about, so at that time, were there more brass
instruments? Yeah, there was more of them. There's 15, 20 of them, you know, and then, but the string instrument was only 25. Yeah.
No, I know, I'm just laughing about competing with the brass. That's the popular come up with the career.
Oh, what? It came up before?
Competing with the brass,
We played without any mics or anything.
Fred
Brown, his dad, you ought to heard his dad. He was piano. Actually,
loud and the piano was
new.
We were little kids.
There's a piano.
At the Red Hall.
At the Red Hall. If we took out of the hall over here,
yeah.
And the ivy on it would be sitting all down. It was beat off. I mean, they all played. Rudolph played that too.
Is that the one that got thrown in the ivy and was at the fight?
I don't remember that one. The way my granddad made it, he said it takes a pound of cheese and a gallon of gas.
That's pretty much it.
2 pounds of sugar. 2 pounds of sugar and fill the jug up with what? It makes a gallon. But he always made, like in the big pot, you put the the berries going in there and then squeeze them off and get the right amount of height for the guy. It's a kind of tree.
Is it elderberry?
Elderberry. And grape, I think they make, some people make it all grape tree.
Yeah.
It takes a long time to make it. The other, the elderberry, you could do the first out when I told you. You can do that in about 2 or 3 months. Just to get busy on.
Well, that's a good song. Just to get busy.
You think you're a guy, you can't say that. That's the thing.
But you know, after you make it, the fellow ought to take it and bottle it. And put it on a place like that bottle there, put a good cork on it, and leave it for
4 years.
The rest of the year. Another place to do it. Grandpa, he'd stop there and he would give you about that much in my little glass. He'd talk for hours, and he wouldn't give us no more. But that's all he needed, really.
Alvin's cheese versus the cheese that he made later would be what the difference is. Alvin's cheese was a little bit.
Really was.
The reason that Alvin's cheese sign sits out here is because
and
the
Alvin's cheese is grandpa's sign.
Yes, your grandpa signed it. Mm-hmm. Alvin was making the cheese. He's too young and mm-hmm. cold.
Right.
That's cheese.
This is another cousin who's still going into that area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Yeah, you did.
Go to each cellar.
Yeah.
And like the Molly sisters, too, you know.
Yeah,
their cheese had a...
It was more of a milky...
Yeah.
Rather than...
Yeah. And there's, it was because their cellar, you know, and the way that they had everything in their cellar. Some was drier, some was more moisture, you know, some was... I mean, that's what I remember.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy's cheese, you know,
mm-hmm.
the Detwaller cellar is still the same cellar that they mm-hmm. used all these years, and she still mm-hmm. makes, well, as far as I know, she still makes the cheese and aging it in that cellar.
Mm-hmm.
And Alvin, too,
I don't think they make them.
Well, who does that?
I think they will appear in the distance.
Okay,
so yeah, maybe, yeah. You can't buy the sausage you made anymore in three different times. And we made sausage, we called it liver sausage. And it was made it in place from regular pork. It was from the liver and had some of that in it. And I really don't know it well, but the butcher who kept the head of the animals and took the skin off of them and cleaned them up and then boiled all the meat off of them and made the liver sausage. It took the liver and the heart and put it all in the big kettle and boiled it and then made sausage out of it.
It was a blood
sausage. Yeah, blood. We never did do that.
Oh,
you didn't? No, not that. It just got blood when they killed him. Just caught the blood, found the blood, and it was the same kind of mixture, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
We never, well, we just never took the time to catch the blood. We were always too busy doing something else.
What about
you? Huh? Yeah, mincemeat. They made mincemeat out of beef, I think.
I
don't
remember them making it.
Yeah, the beef.
I
think hogs were just the liver sausage and the prime sausage living intestines. You know. They took intestines from the animal and turned them and cleaned them and washed them and everything. In the cold
yeah.
time of the year. Yeah, it was always good.
So there's a little tiny bit of smoke coming in, but everything is cold.
Yeah,
that
you just,
smoke.
It just kept that
like
smoke house full of smoke all day and night. It put a big chunk of wood on it, wouldn't burn, but it had a fire on it. And it just sat there and smoked that little room, half a temperature. They just smoked that tight. And then the sausage on rod, and I can just come in and put it on there. And it's just fried up the
real solid. My uncle was, I stayed with my uncle when I was in high school. And he said, "Hey, room, come in here." He had rheumatism. He couldn't move around. He was in bed already. Go up there in the smokehouse and get me a lick of that coffee. And I said, "Yep." Put one of them on and bring it back. He'd get a hold of one piece and put the rest under the cell and he'd start eating that. He wasn't supposed to have a red meat because of the rheumatism.
Now, he also, during the same time, you were in charge of one part of the farm, and your cousin, which is a female, was in charge of the other part. She took care of chickens and eggs, and egg production was. How much was egg production? That always amazed
me. Well, we had, my dad had about 300 chicks in the beginning of the year, and he did too. And they would ship 30 dozen eggs every week after we started laying it. And it, because we were at the highway so we could get to the mailbox, he'd take the crates of eggs, you had 30 dozen eggs crated up, and he'd take them to the express office and the railroad taking them to New York.
Well, of course, for New York.
Yeah, they go right on up to New York and being a master of America.
So how
was
30 dozen of eggs transported in a crate? What kind of crate was that?
We had, they were a box about this long, and in layers, like 2 dozen in each layer, and 15 dozen on each side. Wooden crate. Just a heading-on crate, and they had separators on them. And 2 dozen in each layer, and another soft piece of cardboard on that, and stack another one on top of that. 5 or 6 layers, or whatever it took to get 30 dozen in the crate. And she fed the chickens. And
her name was what?
Hilda.
Hilda.
Yeah. Yeah, around 300, yeah. They ordered, they would get like 300 bitties, little tiny bitties, and they would set them all laying in. And they grew up. Yeah, it was, more fatty meat. Because the pigs have great jaws, and they would cut that all off, and that's meat and fat. And whatever thought, you know, had some stuff in it in the sausage. It was odd. It was odd what they made from the character of what it was, you know.
Where did the eyes end up, in other words?
They didn't use eyes. Oh,
okay.
No eyes? Yes, there was.
Yeah, you feel better now?
Much better.
And
just full head bunny character.
They didn't.
And blood.
We didn't use the tongue.
You didn't?
No,
you didn't.
Not out of the
hall. Oh, that was
sweet. The beef tongue we used. Yeah, that was a different sausage. It was rare. It was always sausage. Like, what's that?
Pepperoni?
Pepperoni, yeah. Yeah, like pepperoni.
And still to this day, when I try to bring all these different sausages, I always look for sausages all over the world. And I'll bring them to mom and dad. She'll cut through all of them.
Because you know the ingredients is not telling you anything.
Yeah, they must be getting it out of camera.
Out of camera.
How have you seen the community of how this has changed?
It's changed? About the same. It's still, tradition is still there, but it's little bit amplified from age, you know. Just younger. Oh, they're doing great. I think they do. These little fellas on that stage thing, they're really, I love to watch them see it.
So there's a 3 or 4 year
old. Well, he's 4, yeah. We got him a little place that looked like it's about a real kid. He was up on the stage with us over the little reunion. He told me a few stories. I never asked him anything, but I knew he didn't want to tell me. But he said every once in a while we'll do something, and he said that's just the way it was. Just the way it was. And I got on that PTO boat. Said there was 45 of us on that boat. I was the sergeant, and he was going towards the land. There was no place to land. I mean, just up in the sand. He said, I took my rifle and trying to get the bottom. He said, as soon as I hit the bottom, I got him the hell out of there. Said, and we went on down.
I told her just to bring some cheese and things like that.
I think so. Don't you think you could connect the dots really easily?
Yeah. When my husband and I went, we went during the destruction fast and burn, which is great because it looks like all of Switzerland comes together, all of culture comes together in one place and has they have a big festival. And it was kind of a mega festival compared to what we have here, but I could relate to all the different costumes and the different traditions and things that they were doing there that we do here, particularly because you studied costumes.
Yeah,
but it was kind of funny because the people that we were traveling with kept saying, you people in Russia, West Virginia are much more Swiss than we are because they don't really bring out their costumes and all the traditions and everything until something special is going on at a festival. Where here, it's more of a not on a daily basis, but more often than they do.
Yeah.
So it was kind of funny that, and you know, a lot of people, the younger generation, don't know what an outfit is. They don't know, anything about the costumes. And you try to teach us younger kids all about that, and they don't do that as much as we do either. So they just say, oh, you're more Christian.
I know that when my grandma has gone back to Belgium because she speaks Flemish, they all laugh at her because her Flemish is stuck in time. Is that true of your Swiss too?
Oh yeah.
Well, they used to call us Dutch.
No, she's talking about when you went to Switzerland.
Oh.
How it was for you to listen to the language and be, tell them about the southern state. You went into like a food store and you're looking for something for mom and you're by yourself and...
Yeah, I try to tell the lady what I wanted, and I was not, I was there about 3-4 minutes. And the guy was working in the back of the store. And I tried to tell her what I wanted.
I'm trying to go for bells.
She couldn't. I mean, I didn't know what I wanted. And the guy says, if you don't know what you want, get the hell out of here. So I said, oh, well, I don't need it anymore.
It's not about customer service
there. Really?
Right?
Yeah, he said it in Swiss.
But I have a beautiful video of you and this little old man that was the carver, and I have the carving. Remember, he was carving, he'd pull out these jewels and tell you what wood, how it was made of. And that video rings in my head, I don't know if I remember or find it, but the two of you were talking, mom was having an asthma attack because we were in a barn. I was recording, and Jeff was helping mom, but he said, you were telling him all the different types of wood that came from this area, and you were telling about maple, blah, blah, blah. He got it. And all of a sudden, I heard bloody. I didn't know what word that was saying. And all of a sudden, Dad was saying poplar, like a poplar tree. All of a sudden, I was like, poplar? What is this poplar?
They didn't have
he didn't
poplar
know
pine.
What poplar was.
Yeah, and the poplar mostly pine there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, but he could really relate to him because he was a really old guy.
Yeah.
But the newer generation, like the Christians that I've had in my house in D.C. and people that were around the embassy and the new Swiss, the young Swiss, maybe that, the more transient Swiss, they couldn't understand your old Swiss.
Yeah, they were oh, okay. That's pretty good cheese. That's almost
very
good
cheese.
That's the stuff from Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's a quality of mine.
Do you remember when I told you about the milk when I was a person? Is that like the last one?
I burnt the meat with my sister. You didn't break the ribbon.
Mm-hmm.
That's like us with time period that we mm-hmm. did nothing. But no, what this local did had this man took one make us an apple for the church. And so when we went, we just decided that would be a good opportunity to bring it back with us instead of having it shipped. So we got there and we met the man who made it. And he told my husband, he said, when you go home, normally, you know, a big item like that, you would put it under the plane, you know, you'd set the room a little bit under the plane.
Right.
No, you don't. Put the long blonde. The long blonde does not go under the plane. He said, you take this long blonde on the plane with you. And he looked at me and he said, you take this short blonde, you put her under the plane. But do not put the long blonde under the plane. You put it up on, take it on the plane with you.
You want some more tea?
Well, is there anything else that I should ask or talk about?
In the food area, I think it was always very interesting, and what I tried to bring back when I came back is that everybody tried to work together in harvesting and canning and, you know, pull the milk together and make cheese, and everybody got together and sheared, everybody got together and, you know, farmed. It was a collaborative effort. You know, small farmers wouldn't have been able to survive it if it was not for the collaborative effort. We probably still would do that if somebody would call up and say, hey, I need you to come help me shear. We probably would still do that. But it's just not the way it's happening. So each farmer individually tries to survive on their own now.
They're doing more of it than they did before.
Yeah.
Because they got the first time they get the machinery, they started. Grandpa got it.
A thrasher.
And somebody else got another piece out of them. They dragged all that around to the whole community and do oats and wheat and everything.
And to this day, we still own a common ground that's called the Dipping Vat. And
yep.
They're on the main road that goes between your house and
it's not you, but
they used to run the sheep through there, and they would dip everybody's sheep. And so they would fill that with whatever they needed.
It's surveyed off. There's really no owner to that little tiny beast.
But it's still multiple owners. And so everybody would run their sheep through there and dip their sheep off the year. No, so they would have not...
deep enough for a cow to go through and bear it, you know, put it apart. Deep and cattle, yeah.
And you can dip your livestock in there and everybody could share that space where all the chemicals or whatever it was that...
All they do is we always call the sheep dip.
I don't know what the recipe for sheep dip is.
We need to Google that.
I
know.
Okay.
Google that.
We can pause
for a minute. I'm by myself.
I'm separate. Dad and I are...